Blog Talk Radio.
Dedicate our lives to this sport. We do thousands of sit-ups in camp. We run hundreds of miles, you know, for the ones that take it serious. And we just dedicate ourselves fully to our craft, man. We watch tape. We attitude. We booty, and we go into that fight and to land on the line.
This is the Rope-A-Dope Radio Podcast. I am your host, Chris Carlson. We are live on a random Friday afternoon. I'm looking at my schedule next week, early next week, when I normally do my show, and it looks like it's going to be more than likely have to be a shortened show. But not just that. I'm not going to do a random show because there's no recap and stuff like that, right? Well, it still is a random show, what am I saying? But anyway, we had some news break that had some details about Canelo and Oscar with Golden Boy, of course, and DAZN, the gridlock that they're experiencing. We know this isn't some kind of new story, but the detail, the extra detail that we now have, whether it, you know, is Canelo actually willing to give a little bit, willing to budge? Obviously, this soap opera going on, someone's got to budge. Otherwise, it's going to lead to an ugly courtroom drama. I mean, this is a soap opera at its finest, but we are going to talk a little bit about this drama going on. It's pretty crazy with these new details. Some of the new details is Canelo not actually having his own deal with DAZN as far as paperwork. We know Golden Boy's deal. We know, you know, Canelo's deal. That was all spelled out to us. But what many of us didn't know was Canelo doesn't have paperwork, so it's actually through Golden Boy. So there's a lot of detail that we're going to get into. I do remember probably last year around this time that Canelo's people had just found out that Golden Boy got a deal to do, what, 8 or 10 shows for $17 million a year over 5 years, something like that. We knew about that part. We knew about Canelo's money. A couple months ago, we found out that it's $40 million, $5 million for, the opponent, $35 million for Canelo. And we found out that they're trying to cut half of his money. And now there's this premier opponent language in this contract. They obviously can't break the Ali Act. Some people are like, well, they should have had it where you force Canelo into something. Well, you can't do that here in the States, not legally anyway. But anyway, we're going to get into this. Like I said, Michael Coppinger of The Athletic had a really in-depth story recently on this. We're going to kind of break that down, of course, and just see where this thing is going to go. It's funny, the last show I did on Tuesday, there was talks of November. Callum Smith and Billy Joe Saunders, like, they had already met halfway. They had already kind of figured that out. Let's go into it. And remember, they have a tentative agreement for next May, if the fans can come back, with Golovkin and Canelo. The money's spelled out and everything. Because Coppinger, and I believe, was it Raphael? I can't remember who else. But remember, right around the Showtime announcement of their fall fights, there was that little Coppinger put out a story. And he said, well, they've already worked out the money. So he's already agreed to Golovkin fight. So it's kind of it's kind of all over the place. Not only that, but he agreed to it this year after what most thought was going to be Billy Joe Saunders. So we're going to dig into this stuff. Like I said, it was an interesting story that broke not long ago. I wanted to talk about it. It is a little bit in-depth of a subject, so I figured why not just make a little show about it. It's not going to be a two-hour show or anything like that. I got stuff to do. You got stuff to do. I normally don't hit you guys up with two full shows, but a little bit different this week. Before we get into it, though, if this is your first time listening to the Rope-A-Dope Radio Podcast, welcome. It streams live right here on blogtalkradio.com/Rope-A-Dope Radio. It streams live at Archives. It's basically the headquarters. If you're here for boxing, cool. That's how we started the channel. We do have football and basketball, just so you know. However, you don't have to just listen to the show on Blog Talk by downloading it right on Blog Talk or listen to it in the browser. You can find the Rope-A-Dope Radio Podcast on Apple Podcasts. You can find it on iHeartRadio, Player FM, TuneIn, Stitcher, really all across the board. Also part of the GruelingTruth.com, the sports, the Grueling Truth Sports Podcast Network, which can be found everywhere, including Spotify. And while you're at it, this is what I meant to say. You can go head on over to the GruelingTruth.com. That's the GruelingTruth.com. It's football, it's boxing, it's basketball, it's baseball, it's everything in between. And one more thing before we get knee deep into this Canelo versus Oscar versus DAZN gridlock show. I got something for you. I use it myself. It's called AT&T TV Now. It's live streaming cable. You can try the 7-day free trial. There's no annual contracts. Once you sign up, the plans start as low as $55 a month. You can stream it anywhere. They have the cloud DVR. And HBO Max is actually a 30-day free trial if you sign up right now. There is another deal layered into this. If you get the AT&T TV Now Max deal, that includes HBO Max, and it gives you one free month of Showtime. Showtime is $11 regular at this moment. So anyway, boy, oh boy, oh boy. You know, it's funny. We've heard about this drama for quite some time. Last Mexican Independence Weekend, mid-September, somehow, some way, through just really ignorant moves. I mean, the Derevyanchenko purse bid, you knew in order to secure the purse bid, you were going to have to bid like $40 million anyway, right? You were going to have to bid a lot of money just to get it. And I'm talking about the IBF strap that Canelo got off Jacobs last, or 2 Mays ago, I suppose, right? So you knew that he was going to make some money. And you know, I'm not going to go over the story of they overpaid a bunch of people. We knew this was going to be a problem. This is just basic business 101. If you get your fanboy stuff out of it and, you know, you set the market, you negotiate what you get, and that kind of falls suit right into that. And, of course, with the pandemic, the DAZN got hit harder than other networks as far as, you know, they lost a bunch of their subscribers, if not all of them, almost all of them, right? And I subscribe back now, of course, late July when they first started showing cards. And I'm like, all right, well, I'm getting UK stuff, so I'm happy as a hardcore fight fan. But, you know, I understand there is a pandemic thing situation for them, but they don't get money off the gate. You know what I mean? Golden Boy and Canelo are actually the ones that are going to make less money on this fight right now. It's actually not necessarily DAZN because they don't. They make money off having them on there, of course. And of course, you know, we knew 35 mil a fight wasn't going to work. And actually, as we found out not long ago, it's 40 mil. We were always wondering, where did that opponent money come from? And then a couple of months ago, a couple people came out and reported that it's 40 mil. My point is, it's like, so why are you cutting his money so extreme if you don't get his gate money anyway? I know you're just trying to save some money. I get that. And I don't know. There's just a lot of detail that we're going to get into. I'm kind of all over the place right now. But it's just crazy, dude. It's crazy. And there's a couple of items, like I said, the contract thing, the fact that Canelo doesn't have a contract actually with DAZN is crazy. However, the fact that Golden Boy does, and it's through, and Canelo is with Golden Boy, does that give him an out if he is in this stalemate that he's not going to be able to get out of? Now, I don't think he should try to get out of his contract per se right this second because, hey, who else is going to give him $35 million or even $25 or $30 million a fight? Let's say he takes less, which has been now reported too. We'll get into that in a second. It sounds like Canelo is actually willing to take a cut, just not half, right? So that really blows my mind, but that could help him in the long run. But look at some of this, just some of this, like I said, this Coppinger, The Athletic, it's pretty crazy, dude. You know, we all know the five-year deal with DAZN, like I said, 17 a year for Golden Boy. Those are separate from Canelo events. It's kind of the combo deal, and that was what basically got the lawyers talking instead of actually Canelo talking to Oscar and Gomez and company over there. Because they're like, wait a second, you got a deal out of this? Well, it's even deeper, in my opinion, now, because Canelo doesn't even have – no wonder they were just surpassing DAZN and going right to the lawyer of the owner of the whole company. But, yeah, when you look at it, they Golden Boy promised to deliver at least two Canelo events annually with one against a premier opponent. Now, here's the kicker, okay? And deemed as such at DAZN's sole discretion. So they can tell you what a premier opponent is. So, and he even asked just who qualifies as a premier opponent, you know, in today's boxing landscape. And one of the examples was obviously Golovkin. Well, like I said, it sounded like before the pandemic that they had a deal for September, right? And they were going to fight Billy Joe Saunders. That's what it sounded like. Okay, so he had kind of already agreed to that. And then once, you know, the pandemic fully hit, not that long ago, as I mentioned, they already worked a deal for next Cinco de Mayo. They got the money figured out and everything. So Canelo is giving them the Golovkin fight as long as, obviously, they can, you know, make a gate, a live gate off the situation. You can't really ask him to do that fight when it was, what, 27? Was it 27 mil and 23 mil or something like that? You're obviously going to wait around and wait for that bigger money. I mean, that seems like an obvious. So it's just weird that he's already said, all right, dude, that's the fight you want. I'll give it to you. I'll give it to you. So that's a premier opponent. But they didn't deem Jacobs, Kovalev. They don't deem Callum Smith, Billy Joe Saunders, Andrade, Charlo. Well, maybe they do. I don't know. Maybe that's in there. I don't know. But I don't know what they were thinking when they signed this long-term deal. If you think Golovkin is only the premier guy, and that's it, besides a Mayweather, or I guess we're going to start walking down this road, Oscar De La Hoya. You know, maybe that's why Oscar sees the situation he's in, and he's trying to salvage it. And he's been talking about this comeback, and he's been saying, well, I want to make sure I don't get injured. I want to make sure I do it the healthy way. It started out with just getting in shape and all that. Maybe deep down, that's actually what it's about to save his deal, because obviously, if this deal folds, it's going to be tough for Golden Boy to keep, you know, Canelo. And if they lose Canelo, good luck. I mean, don't get me wrong. They have other prospects. That's not the point. Some people are saying, well, DAZN could claim bankruptcy. Would that be their, you know, I don't think their whole, you know, they're worldwide. They are doing good in Japan and other places. So would that mean just their base here, the DAZN USA product that they've given us with Golden Boy mostly in Matchroom? So it's kind of all over the place, but, you know, if some of these fights, like Chavez Jr., before he looked really bad against Jacobs, would have that have been a premier fight? I guess so, but look at, when I say after the Jacobs fight, it's really after the Canelo fight, because not too many people are going to want to see that for a second time, considering what happened in the ring a couple years back. But when you say premier opponent, do you really mean Mayweather? And imagine in a courtroom saying, hey, Mayweather's not even on this platform. You know what I mean? Like, the only premier guy you got on the platform is Golovkin. That's it. That's all. So to pay him $35, really $40 million a fight, it never really lined up anyway. I mean, Floyd didn't even get that kind of money. And remember, people never talk about this barely, but the gate was involved with the deal. I remember Espinoza more than once on Twitter said, when talking about the Madonna and stuff, when that was like a $15 or $16 million gate or something like that. And he's like, you know, the gate money just doesn't go away. It's a whole deal. You know what I mean? So if we're a little short, we do get some of that money. So I don't know, dude. I haven't seen anywhere where it says DAZN gets a large portion of the gate. Canelo and Golden Boy get that part. So this whole premiere thing, you know, are you talking about, some people mentioned some UFC fighters, McGregor and whatnot. That would be a crossover fight. Well, yeah, of course it would, but did you think that's what half of your fights were going to be? Golovkin, Mayweather, McGregor? I mean, it still possibly could happen with the right money, of course, but it just doesn't line up. It's just like, that's what you were expecting? So were you just vaguely trying to get some subs off Canelo and then see what happens? And we don't even know all of the language of this deal. Because remember, with Eddie Hearn and Matchroom USA, which actually DAZN owns half of that, which is really weird, the network in this case, the streaming platform, but really the network, owning part of a promotional company. I don't know how that's not an Ali Act, but a violation. But it's crazy that, you know, just to finish what I was saying, that we heard rumors about that 8-year deal, but we heard that it was a 2-year deal. And if you lived up to certain numbers or whatever, subs and whatnot, then you could get the rest of the deal. We heard about that. We don't know if that's true or not. You know, Coppinger also said on the BoxingVoice.com, by the way, or not .com, but at the Boxing Voice, Ness and company did a really good interview with him. And he mentioned, like, that deal is actually more, hey, we got this amount of money earmarked and we'll doil it out to you, basically. It's not going to be, you have $120 million just to spend that, whatever you want to do. We have to okay it and whatnot. But, Daniel Jacobs was one of the best middleweights at the time. He had shown up really well against Golovkin when a lot of folks hadn't prior to that. And that was before he fought Canelo, right? And then, you know, he beat Derevyanchenko, which a lot more people respect Derevyanchenko now off of that Golovkin fight last fall. So, and it was a unification. And then Kovalev, who actually has one of the biggest name, if not the biggest name, none of them have big name, that's the whole point. But if you want to look at who's been on, you know, HBO for all that while, name recognition is my point. Yeah, sure, the Ward and Kovalev's were on pay-per-views. They didn't do above 200,000. But still, semi-casual fans at least know Kovalev or had a good chance of seeing him is my point. And so he's somewhat of a name within boxing is my point. And so if those aren't premier opponents, I don't know what would be. So that's really vague, and no wonder DAZN having this language in there is putting on the brakes. Like, you guys haven't lived up to it. But Canelo's got to be sitting back here like, wait, what's going on? You know, like, and I really don't know why he didn't have somewhat of a separate deal. That seems crazy. But then again, if he's tied to Canelo, or, you know, if Canelo's tied to Golden Boy, then Golden Boy has a say in that. So I guess now that I think about it, it does make sense that it was that way. It was always told to me and said in public to, you know, by many of reporters that usually do pretty good sources-wise, that was an individual deal. I didn't realize that he doesn't have paperwork. Now, can he get out of the deal based off that? You know, I think it's a fair question because he's like, wait a second. You know, they got me in a corner. Now, that's if they're not going to pay him that $35 million anymore. You know, if they're not going to own up to the contract. Well, they put language in the contract, so maybe they could fight that. And we all know who has the bigger pockets for, you know, a lawsuit. But, yeah, to say you're going to cut half, $17.5 million for Kellyanne Smith, it's like, so he's got to take half the money? Why would it? That's it's a guaranteed contract. What, you know, that's the one that really makes you scratch your head because that is a quality opponent. And that's what people are kind of freaking out now. On ESPN Deportes, Chava from ESPN Deportes is reporting that Canelo wouldn't accept the 50%, the full pay, half pay cut, I should say. But it sounds like he was willing to meet him at 30%. So take a 30% pay cut for Smith and Billy Joe. Now, 30% is still overpaying, but that's your problem. DAZN is the one who put out that $35 million a year, $40 million with the opponent. So, you know, it's like, wow. So the report is, now I don't know if that's a 100% fact, but it sounds like, you know, there hasn't been too much fighting it lately since I've heard that over the last day or so. So now you got Canelo already moving down on money. I mean, doing the fight, he's going to lose like $6 million something at the gate. Golden Boy and him split that. So he's already losing money. He's willing to take a 30% cut. You know, like I said, you're the one who signed this contract. So I don't know, man. It's pretty kind of – it's crazy. It's crazy. But they did sign Golovkin to that six-fight deal. It's 18 months later, like he said. And there still is no fight, you know, like basically – here it is. The agreement sources said use Golovkin as an example as a premier opponent. Furthermore, De La Hoya and company verbally expressed per sources that Canelo and GGG would be easy enough to finalize if Canelo indeed signed to the platform. Now, obviously, the first wave, like last year, basically, there was an issue there. But since then, in this year, it sounds like I mentioned, that you know, Canelo agreed to fight Golovkin. So that wouldn't be his next fight, but after that, as long as, you know, as long as they can have fans in there. So this is a details that you're just like, what the fuck is going on? I just don't understand how that could not be, I don't know, how that could not be a premier, you know, premium opponent. I mean, it just doesn't seem like you. How could you give him? What's he have? 8 more fights left? 8 more at 40? I mean, to me, it sounds like they're like, you know what? We tried. This isn't working. Let's play hardball for one. And they have, as a company, DAZN. We've talked about this, well documented, that they've maneuvered some leadership roles, and they've also talked about non-live, you know, programming, not the live stuff, but just non-live, that they, you know, that they want to have some more shoulder programming. And they've also, you know, divested in some stuff and then, you know, put more money towards a different soccer league like they did in Asia. I think it was Southeastern Asia or something, that league, they let go of the contract, but then double up for German soccer. So, you know, it is what it is. Like, I'm not saying the company's going to fold, but maybe they're like, you know what, if we're really going to, you know, they're already trying to raise $1 billion. If they can save a couple $100 million here, I mean, maybe they're just like, screw it. Let's do this. Let's get them that huge money for Golovkin next and then move on. You know, that could be it. That could be it. You know, there's a lot of ways to look at this. Could this be a courtroom battle? Yeah. I really think it could be. And, you know, with that language, they could get out of it. Maybe. DAZN I'm speaking of, Golden Boy, they don't want out of it, I don't believe, you know. And Canelo's stuck in a situation where it's not really a buyout situation. I've seen that on Twitter. I've seen, you know, a couple other folks say that. Well, he could just buy out. Yeah, but eight fights, $40 million a fight. That's hard to buy out of. You know what I mean? I don't think there is a buyout clause. I don't think, this is me speculating, but that's a lot of money to buy out. So, but then again, like I said, he doesn't have paperwork to zone with DAZN. So he can't really say, well, DAZN's doing me wrong, because Golden Boys do, you know, ultimately have done him wrong then, because they're the ones who made this agreement. They're the ones that got money per year for separate events, non-Canelo events, based off of Canelo mostly. I mean, they got Virgil Ortiz, they got Ryan Garcia. You know, that's a positive, no doubt about it. Especially Ryan Garcia, his potential is huge. And Virgil is pretty damn solid as well, as far as potential, not earnings, you know, and subscribers. But it's just a mess, dude. It's really a mess. I can't believe that it's actually come to this, but I kind of can because of the money thing. You know what I mean? And maybe, like I said, they're going to raise some money, then they're going to save some money here in the long term, and they're going to make a run, you know, at one of these other sports. You know, that could be the situation. Now, here's something else that kind of makes it kind of interesting. You know, we knew, like, the bidding rights were coming up for some NFL content and some other sports, too. But, like, the Red Zone package, you know what I mean? Basically, actually, the NFL just announced not long ago, NFL Media and YouTube TV today announced a new carriage agreement to bring, and this is just the 2020 NFL season, but to bring, this might be like, hey, we're just going to check it out, because a lot of times the package to watch all the games for NFL is on DirecTV, but they're losing subscribers, so they're going to probably go someplace else the NFL is. But here it is, to bring the NFL Network and NFL Red Zone, which is huge amongst fantasy, obviously, to YouTube TV subscribers for the 2020 NFL season. So right now, YouTube TV's $10.99 month sports plus tier includes the Red Zone, Fox College Sports, Fox Soccer Plus, Gold TV, MAV TV, Stadium, and TVG. The rest of their sports networks are available with an extra tier. So, obviously, that's a track run. Like, hey, let's take a look at this. You know what I mean? Because we know that type of programming, the package in general, is going to be, you know, is going to be available next year. So, I don't know, man. It's kind of crazy. That plays into it, and maybe they're, like I said, they're just getting their war chest filled back up, and they're going to make a run at some of these sports. But, you know, they're going to have competition, obviously, from every which way. So this one surprises me. I'm pretty damn surprised here. Any other details here? To lose out on some substantial money, though, they're talking about the Canelo Golovkin 3 Golden Boy. Perhaps by 2020 or 2021, the pandemic would be good to go. But, yeah, I mean, in the meantime, Canelo turned back Smith, who passed on him in May. He and Golovkin, or he and Golden Boy share the gate revenue, blah, blah, blah. The pitch to DAZN was simple. Golden Boy presented itself as the best boxing promoter in the world, which was not correct. And obviously Canelo, though, being such a huge star. And they said, well, hey, we even made Chavez Jr. surpass that million mark and whatnot. And they were going to kill the pay-per-view market. Remember, that was their first commercial run. Another thing that kind of irked them here, it says one comment in particular from Golden Boy. And by the way, 503, I'm going to go to you in just a little bit here. One comment in particular for Golden Boy, President Eric Gomez seemed to underscore the growing friction between the parties and DAZN. DAZN's belief that Golden Boy is an unwilling partner. This is go Gomez with ESPN in July. Gomez explained that there was less urgency than usual to announce an Alvarez next fight since there was no tickets, obviously. So here it goes. This is what Gomez said. So that helps. We can announce the next fight even a month out. It's the same with pay-per-view. You want to start early. The earlier you start, the better market and you can promote the better to market and promote the event. So that kind of is like, oh, so the next one's just like whatever, just announce it anytime. His own officials were perturbed that Gomez seemingly acknowledged that there was less promotion with no pay-per-view push. And we could just do it a month in advance and whatnot. But what about subscribers, you know, that the Zone relies on and Golden Boy is supposed to rely on too? The streaming service, obviously, you know, hemorrhaging subscribers stateside and whatnot. So, let me see here. So, the Zone countered with a pay cut for Canelo. Frustration. Why was this the Zone's problem officially at the platform? Wondered Golden Boy had the opportunity to stage a third fight with fans many times before. I don't know about many times, but they did have a chance last year, obviously. Golden Boy never had. They never got his approval, and we remember that part last year. So DAZN countered with the pay cut to Canelo, a tactic used to show Golden Boy the deal isn't working without marquee events. The platform holds leverage beyond Alvarez's next fight. Officials have been slow to greenlight other Golden Boy events too. Just like when Linares and Fortuna fell out, there was no replacement, even though it sounded like there was some potential for a quality one. They just canceled it, and there really isn't many fights scheduled. Well, there's no fights officially scheduled, but we know about a couple. But I don't know. I don't know where this is going to go, and that's what makes me think there is potential for a courtroom battle here, because what in the world is a premier, you know, opponent beyond Golovkin? It just really doesn't exist except for, you know, it was DAZN being foolish too. Now, I understand that Golden Boy haven't lived up to their side of this language, right? But it is pretty vague language. So, I don't know, man. But here is a funny clip of DAZN, you know, at their, not of DAZN, but, you know, one of the main dudes there for DAZN USA, with Matchroom and whatnot through DAZN USA. They're talking about this is last year with Jacobs and Canelo. And, you know, we talk about premier events and premier opponents and whatnot. Just take a listen. It's pretty funny.
DAZN is here, doing what we said we'd do, having firmly established our business at the heart of American boxing. And let's be clear, on any other platform, this fight would be a pay-per-view fight. 80, 90, maybe even $100.
Jacobs or Kovalev wouldn't have been 100, by the way, but keep going.
But instead of making this fight available for $100, we're making an entire year worth of fights available for $100 with our annual pass. And if we just break that down for the value we're offering, week on week, month on month, our subscribers are being treated to great events with interesting narratives. And none of those fights embody that description better than this weekend's main event between Canelo and Kovalev. This is a hugely important week for the sport of boxing, a hugely important night for DAZN and our biggest fight that we've put on to date in the United States. It's one thing for a fighter to jump up two weight classes, but it's a completely different kettle of fish for that fighter to jump up two weight classes and challenge the biggest name in that division. But Canelo, as we all know, is not your typical fighter. His drive to continually seek out new challenges is truly admirable. A little more than 10 months in his relationship with DAZN, Canelo has fought three times on DAZN, and we have to say, as the biggest draw in boxing, we couldn't ask for a better partner. So thank you, Sol. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, we really appreciate it. So, yeah, I mean, obviously that's not the billionaire dude who, you know, supplies money to the company, of course, who now is, you know, trying to raise some money to the tune of $1 billion to pay some of these licensing fees that they owe as a company, but really they also will owe, you know, as a company, I'm talking about worldwide, but also, you know, that they're going to owe right here. to what they have under contract. Golovkin making a ton of money, and obviously same with Canelo. So I figured it was a long enough segment, and next week is going to be a little bit shorter of a show because of the schedule thing. So I figure why not? You know what I mean? Why not come in here? I'm going to go ahead and head out to Portland and see. Actually, let me make sure he's ready real quick just to make sure so I don't catch him off guard. As far as there is some news out there that just minor news here that we'll talk about. Eddie Hearn has revealed on to IFL TV that Alexander Povetkin and Dillian White, the rematch is planned for November 14th or November 21st in London. He also added that Huey Fury and David Allen will be on the undercard. So they are just jumping right back into that. Dillian White is already like training once a day just to keep the weight off and stay sharp. Man, after a knockout like that, I know he's not sparring. You know, I get that part. But it seems like, wow, maybe you want to take a little bit more break than that. But, hey, he said he's feeling good, whatever it is. A fight between Jaime Munguia and Tereno Johnson is being discussed for October on DAZN. Sources tell The Athletic, this is from Coppinger, would be Munguia's first test at 160. Johnson, this is what Coppinger says, a tough, rugged gatekeeper, and is coming off the stoppage win over Quigley. October 24th is the potential date for that fight. What else we got here? Something. Portland, how you doing there? I just texted you. You doing good here? Here's some interesting news. Dante Stubbs, Victor Rodriguez suspended 9 months by the Nevada State Athletic Commission following positive drug test. This is Jake Donovan from Boxing Scene. The success enjoyed in the bubble by Dante Stubbs and Victor Rodriguez no longer exists. Both boxers were issued 9 month suspension along with seeing their summertime victory stripped away, of course, by the monthly agenda meeting. I think it was remote location Thursday. Also, Forrest. I believe that heavyweight Forrest is involved with that as well. I'm going to try to go out to Portland here in a second. Otherwise, I'm going to shut this show down because I don't want to hold you guys too much. But I do want a second show this week. I don't want to take up too much of your time. Here's some pretty good news for a guy who's trying to climb the contender ladder at welterweight. Boots, Jaron Ennis Boots. Sources claim, this is from Rollins, he will face Juan Carlos Abreu in the opener of the Showtime Special Edition triple header headlined by Erickson Lubin and Terrell Gachier, September 19th. You know, he's gotten the distance with, like, maybe four or five solid dudes. So I like that because, you know, Boots has been knocking a lot of people out. So why not, you know, why not do it? You know, why not see if he can knock them out and get some more rounds and just get, you know, some more TV time. So that's a good sign. All right, I'm going to go ahead. We're going to close the show with Portland 503. What's going on, Portland? How you doing, man?
Yo, what up? What up, Chris? I'm doing good, bro. Here in beautiful sunny Oregon for the 1 month of sun that we have left here, and then after that shit, it's all rain. So, but yeah, man, just enjoying this last bit of sun that we're gonna have. It's a little heat wave going on, but I'm just enjoying it for the moment. But how's everything, Chris? How you doing, brother?
I'm doing pretty good. I've actually really been focused the last couple of weeks on doing exactly what you just said. Because our rain, you know, turns into snow in November. So, yeah, we're trying to do the same thing, man. We're doing pretty good. You know, I did this special show randomly called Canelo versus Oscar versus DAZN. The title reads Gridlock Over Contract. You know, what the hell? He's already missed two straight Mexican Independence Weekend, which is just bullshit for the sport, bullshit for Mexican and Mexican Americans, Bullshit for casuals. Bullshit for Canelo. It's like, what the hell, dude? People are purposely not scheduling stuff, you know, on this weekend because we know it's his months. So you can kind of read into that and give your opinion. But first, I would like your opinion on some fights that's happened recently. A lot of people had to say a lot about Jose Ramirez and his tight victory over Victor Postol. You can talk about whatever you like, but before we get into some of this subject here, would you like to talk about a variety of other things? You do have, you know, over 10 minutes before we got to shut it down, so you got plenty of time.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, thanks. Yeah, let's start with the Ramirez. You know, that fight I was really looking forward to. I like Ramirez. I'm a big fan of his. Obviously, he's Mexican. I got to support my own. You know, he was in there with a dangerous opponent, in my opinion, Victor Postol. He really only had one loss before this one, right? With Terrence Crawford. So you know, seeing both fights, a Crawford fight and Ramirez fight, you know, it was very interesting to see who did it better. I think, in my opinion, my honest opinion, I think Crawford did do it a little bit better, just more cleaner, not getting hit. Not much of coming forward like Ramirez, but Ramirez made it a show. What can I say? Ramirez, this is a beautiful Saturday night main event. It would have been better with a crowd, definitely, because it just, you know what I mean? Because Ramirez brings out the crowd and the Mexican fans. But it was a dope fight. It was a great, excellent fight from beginning to end. I didn't think it was that close of a fight. There was a few moments where I believe Postol did land a few shots, but I think, in my honest opinion, I think Ramirez won by like just kind of more of a landslide, just because I saw him landing the better shots to the body, always shooting a pretty nice jab to the head, always left hooks. And if you saw at the end of that fight, Postol's face looked like he got in a fight. Ramirez looked pretty good. He got hit a few times, but he didn't look anything like Postol, right? But in my honest opinion, Ramirez did really good in this fight. Can't wait to see what's up with him next. Hopefully they can make that a Taylor fight. But if they can't, hopefully maybe he can move up. Who knows? You know, it's interesting where he's at right now. Maybe he could get maybe a Crawford fight, which is pretty cool. You know what I mean? That could happen.
Well, the signs are going to Josh Taylor to unify the division, have a lineal guy at the division. Taylor has a fight against someone he should win against, but that's the plans before they move him up.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that'd be dope, man, if they do that fight, because we all saw Taylor win that, the Muhammad Ali trophy and, you know, that prestigious award. So, you know, I'm down. You know, that fight is interesting. You know, I can't wait to see that one. But as far as – do you see it happening this year, Chris? Like, probably not this year, sometime next year?
Yeah, I mean, they've talked about December, but I think that's probably too close. I think it'll be January, mm-hmm. February, something like that, just because Taylor does have a fight and he needs some turnaround time, you know what I mean?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, and also, too, man, if I could add, with this Ramirez win, man, this is just me. This is my honest opinion. This is just me talking. But every time, you know, Robert Garcia, you know, his trainer, whoever his fighter is, man, I always back up Robert Garcia and his fighters. And especially when, you know, he's against Freddie Roach. I don't know. There's Freddie Roach and, you know, there's a few things that he said in the past, you know, and you know what I mean? That soured me to him. I don't back up Freddie Roach fighters. So every time they lose, I feel happy. So Ramirez got this one, and this is a win for us, man. And I just want to gloat a little bit because that's, you know, that means shit, man. Every time they get a win over Freddie Roach, it's just a huge victory. You know what I mean? So, but yeah, man. As far as that, it was dope. The fight was dope. And also too, man. If I can recommend, if you could listen to it in Spanish and Espanol, go ahead and do that, man. I can't, like, again, I can't stand the ESPN dudes, Bradley Ward or whatever, you know, all the other dudes. Like, I just can't stand them. Like, the Spanish is just beautiful. They're talking about the fight. They're not overhyping these guys. Like, like Timothy Bradley, when I saw the Felix Verdejo fight, and this dude could not stop talking for one whole the round that lasted, the Verdejo fight, dude, this dude could not stop talking about his jab. He's got the most beautiful stiff jab in the lightweight division. You know, beautiful jab, just jab, beautiful jab. Like, dude, shut up. And then it's just insane how they allow these guys to, I don't know, to commentate for, I don't know, whatever, man. If you like the American broadcast, go ahead, but they're annoying as hell to me. I'll rather listen to it in British if I can, but to me, en español está bien. I'll always listen to it in Spanish. Now, I can't, you know what I mean? Even though I like the PBC, I could still listen to it in English. I got no problem with them. It's just that the ESPN guys are just really cringeworthy, man. Just I can't. They're just terrible, man. but anyways, as far as that was a dope card. We got Ugas this weekend. Can't wait to see that one. Hopefully Terrence Crawford is watching to see how a real welterweight fights. Because that's an opponent that I want, in my honest opinion, before any PBC fighter. I would like Terrence Crawford to go in there with Ugas, because I believe they have a little bit of history in the amateurs. So that's just my honest opinion before.
That would be a good
like
fight.
If, yeah, that's my fight that I want, man, because Ugas is proving himself,
too.
Man. Mm-hmm.
You know, wouldn't have to be a big pay-per-view. It'd be affordable, so it's a makeable fight.
Yeah. So hopefully they can make it, man. But Crawford is still in his own lane. Like he's obviously, in my opinion, he's not in the driver's seat. You know, Bob, his matchmakers are all putting him in with the fighters they want to see him in with. So I don't know, whatever. But if they can make that fight with Ugas sometime in the future, man, I'm looking forward to that. Big time. And also, too, well, we got Erickson Lubin this weekend, too. So, you know, we all remember him getting knocked
weeks.
Out. Oh, that's not
that's
this weekend?
That's not for a couple of weeks. That's the 19th.
Oh, okay. My bad.
It's all good.
Well, I thought this was weekend. All right. So, yeah, but anyways. As far as, you know, you're talking Canelo, the Canelo situation. You know, man, that sucks, man. I got to hear an interview with another another outlet, and they were talking about that dude Coppinger, I believe his name is, and he explained that he was explaining to me, like, you know, like it's funny how he said a premier fighter that the zone was willing to accept was Masvidal, and and I was like, what the fuck? And you know, in my honest opinion, that's the fight that, in all honesty, Canelo should have gone for. I mean, like whatever Canelo does after whatever his opponent is, people are always going to shit on him. In my opinion, just take the. He should have just taken this MMA dude because I mean, the zone would have paid him. And not only
that,
but he would have just fucking.
It wasn't.
Oh, that wasn't offered.
There wasn't a fight that negotiated. He was just giving examples of what they look at as a premier opponent: Golovkin, Mayweather, Oscar, even right. Maybe this is part of why Oscar's coming back because he's like, well, I'm going to fight him then, or I'm a premier name that'll get me. I don't know, but here's the weird thing, though, that, like, on that interview, talking about the Boxing Boys, dude, they literally, now we know from this article that he doesn't even have a deal paperwork with DAZN, Canelo. It's actually through Golden Boy.
Golden Boy.
So it's even more messed up. We knew Golden Boy got a deal off of the heels of Canelo, of course, you know, but that even adds a layer to it. But, yeah, that premier thing, it's like, dude, how could – you know, Mayweather's a premier, sure, but he's not fighting. Like, who else would be premier? It doesn't even line up. Dude, from 60 to 75, then there's no premier fighters. Well, why the hell did you sign him to this deal? And this might get ugly, dude.
Yeah, definitely. It's definitely going to get ugly, man, with the – in the courts, right? Definitely, man. It's a shitty situation for Canelo. I don't, you know, in my honest opinion, I always thought the 11 fight deal was a bad idea. I would have done either a fight by fight basis or a 2-3 fight kind of deal. That 11 fight deal is an astonishing number for a amount of fights, right? For one network. But the amount of money that they were throwing is shit, man. I mean, anybody would be ready to sign on the dotted line, right? But
sign, you know?
Right, yeah. But, I mean, at the end of the day, you don't want to be owned, you know what I mean? 11 fights is 11 fucking fights, man. And, And you know what I mean? And it's always like, you know, because it was such a brand new network too. So they weren't business oriented. Like they knew the insides of boxing, what boxing is really about. Like, I don't know if they thought this was like where fighters always fight the best time, every fight, you know what I mean? But it doesn't work that way.
Right.
It's not this is not the NFL. This is not NBA. So it's like, they're not always constantly fighting the best, but DAZN,
well,
I don't know. Like I said, yeah. So, you know, as far as that, man, you know, I would love for Canelo just to be back on pay-per-view, man, too, man. That would be better, but I don't know. He is buying into the contract, which sucks. But we'll see, man. I'm sure Canelo could afford the best attorneys, and maybe he'll have to sit a little bit. He'll have to sit away on the bench for a little bit, like Ward did. Hopefully, we don't have to see that. Maybe he could just fight the fights that they want him to fight, and then just win them and just fight out of the contract. That would be the best scenario, but I don't know, man. I really don't know about these contract situations and everything. But it is a shitty situation. But if Oscar De La Hoya is serious, man, lose the weight, make the premier fight happen, man. Get Canelo out of this shit, man. Because, bro, you know what I mean. Because Canelo is he's the money maker. He's in right now, so you know what I mean. In this boxing game, so. It's sad, and it's sad to know too that Canelo's really not his own boss, where he could dictate and say who he wants to fight. Because I believe he was going to fight that Yeardom guy for the 168 pound belt that Benavidez dropped for missing weight. So I can't believe that didn't get made. I was DAZN, I would have fucking done it. I mean, that's a belt. That's a, you know, Canelo. Let him get another belt. I mean, that's just another win for your network. I mean, he's got the belt. They're going to have to come to him, right? So I think they failed on that one. Who cares, man? It's pandemic year. You know, if they made the fight, make it happen. Who cares? But, you know, DAZN is wild and for, you know, premier fights. If Masvidal is a premier fighter, shit, man. Might as well get McGregor. Any of these UFC dudes just to come in here to kill this fucking contract. Because if they want these kind of premier fights, you know, if Masvidal is a premier fight, we'll make it fucking happen, man. You know, just kill this fucking contract,
exactly.
Man. And, you know what I mean? So,
that's a problem with UFC, too. Because do they really want their guy? They have ESPN and ESPN Plus. You have to have ESPN Plus to get the pay-per-views, right? So does UFC really want to introduce, you know, and help, you know, build up DAZN to make that fight even? That's another thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, of course, yeah, that would suck because I'm sure Dana White, he seems pretty greedy, right? Like one of those dudes. So I would think he wouldn't want that kind of deal for his fighter. But I don't know. We've seen crazier shit, right? I mean, McGregor got to go fight fucking Mayweather. I mean that was a big deal, and that was on another network. You know what I mean? That was on Showtime. So,
but that was on.
But I don't know. I mean, if they make it happen, man, make it happen. I mean, if Dana White, I mean, he shouldn't be denying a fighter to make this amount of money. Like, even if it's out of his organization. I mean, the money is real. So, but I mean, the fight doesn't seem real. Like, Canelo doesn't seem like he wants it. Obviously, he's already gone and said in public that it's not a fight that he's interested in. It's not respected by the public, the boxing, the media, and all that shit. So he's already pretty much said he doesn't want it. This is just me talking, right? But I don't know. But yeah, as far as that, Dana White, I don't see him giving a chance to another fighter like that, just because McGregor was just like this leprechaun, you know what I mean? Like, you know what I mean? Like, just kind of this enigma that sold a lot of money, you know what I mean? So that's why that made a lot of money. But I don't know. But as far as that, man, you know, Canelo, hopefully he sees the light and gets out of that contract somehow. Maybe Oscar De La Hoya could help. I don't know. I really don't know the details about it. So, but, man, yeah, as far as that, Chris, let me get out of here, bro. Thank you for having me on. Viva Ropa Dope and Viva Mexico.
There you go. Thanks a lot, man. It's good hearing from you. You got to take it easy. Have a great weekend. We'll be back next week. Peace.
Once you become the world champion, I believe that you